You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Man, I am glad to be here tonight. A lot of places you could be and I could be, but you know, you came here. You could have been in jail, could have been in a hospital, but you came here. Thank God. This is better than the best jail in town. I mean, I'd rather be here in the best hospital in the county. Are you with me? Thank you, Jesus. Turn with me to James, first chapter. I've got several things rolling around. What's new? And, you know, I'm just trying to narrow it down, and just we'll start out here or jump off this diving board and pray there's water in the pool. Amen. So y'all stay with me on this. This is going to be good. Hallelujah. You know, I was just meditating on being not forgetful, being mindful. You know, the Bible tells us, Colossians 3rd chapter, I believe it's the first verse, says, "Set your if you be risen with Christ, set your mind on things above." And then if you go over in Romans 8th chapter, the 5th verse, it talks about those that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Those that are after the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. So you need to be mindful of God's Word. That's real simple. To be mindful of something is to have your mind full of something. That's deep. It's deep. But it matters because it's your head, your mind, your head, your thinking processes. You're headed where your head is. I mean, that's just the truth of the matter. Toucan Sam was wrong. You don't follow your nose. You're really what you're meditating on all the time, what you're thinking on all the time. You know, David said in Psalms 1, "Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor in the stands in the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." And he, this man that meditates in the law, that doesn't listen to the ungodly, sinful, scornful counsel. He, this one that meditates on the word day and night, he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. Amen. But you got to back it up. You know, it's been said we often make much of the event. We see somebody that's blessed. We see a church that's blessed. We see someone doing well. We make much of that event, but we don't make much of the process. And what we find out in the Word is the process. We make much of Pentecost, but we don't make much of 10 days in prayer in the upper room. Hello. We want the power of Pentecost. We don't want the preparation of the upper room, you know. So what we find in the Word is instruction. This is our instruction manual. That's what this is. This is a manual for living. And, you know, that's the last thing guys want to do is pull the manual out or pull the map out. Amen. But we got to learn to do that. Egos are kind of like eggs. Neither one of them are any good until you break them.
Hallelujah.
Ooh, somebody stop me. I'm rolling. But anyway, ego is edging God out. E-G-O, you know. So what we have to do, we have to go back to the book, go back to the manual, go back to the map, go back to the menu. This is the restaurant that God is serving in. This is the menu. This is what He serves. You don't go in a Mexican food restaurant and order Chinese food. They don't serve it there. And you'd know that if you read the menu. Sometimes we go to God, we don't know what God's doing. We hadn't read the menu. We don't even know what's on the menu. We went to Fat Calves today. It's almost scriptural. I think of killing the fatted calf when we go to Fat Calves and Terrell. Jonathan is Jonathan. I'm going to tell you, wherever he goes, he's Jonathan. He sits down, he orders chicken fried steak and Fat Calves. And, of course, Fat Cats being in Texas, they do serve chicken fried steak. I guess the Chinese food serves it in Texas. I don't know. You know, everybody serves chicken fried steak in Texas. But what we have here, you know, what we have here is the manual for living, the map for living. If you're lost, you can't find directions, here's a direction. If you want to order something off the menu, if you want to know what God's serving, what He's cooking in His kitchen, there's the menu right here. If you want to know how He operates, how you're supposed to operate, here's the manual. This is the manual, the map, and the menu of life. And here in James, he compares it to a mirror. Didn't plan on saying all that. That's free. That offering you gave a while ago is for this sermon I'm fixing to get into. But the Word's meant to be done. It's meant to be acted on. Knowledge has one end. The end of all knowledge is action. Why would you want to go take a course on anything? To apply it. You'd want to take that course to do it. People learn occupations that way. They go to college and they study different fields of knowledge in order to put it to work, to get a job. And so when we come to church and we get in the Word, there's a purpose of this. There's a purpose for finding all this out. And it is to do it. To do it. Hear and obey. Amen? Trust and obey. Hear and obey. And James says this. Familiar scripture. You could all quote this. We've heard it over and over. First chapter of James, 22nd verse says, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." But notice how he goes on. He says, "Deceiving your own selves." Wow. You know, that's self-deception. Self-deception is hearing something, not doing it. Hearing God's word, not doing it. And many times we think we're okay because we know a lot of it. We've heard a lot of it, but yet we're not doing it. And if you don't do it, you're self-deceiving. You're deceiving yourself. Deceiving your own selves. You often wonder how someone could come to church all their life, hear the Bible over and over, read their Bible, and yet not really live the Christian life. And yet they're there every time a door opens. How could they be so deceived? Well, they're not doing it. And the longer you hear it and not do it, the more deceived you become. There's a lot of people in church that are deceived. I mean, there's some good people in church. There's some bad people in church. Church is not a panacea or a cure-all. It won't make you perfect. You know, if you could just sit in a church and become a Christian, you could sit in a garage and become a car. You've heard the old saying. You have to apply what you hear. And it's those that do what they hear that are blessed in their deeds. Those that hear and don't do are deceived. So there again, the end of all knowledge is action. We come to hear so we can obey. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Isn't that what he said? And so we have to be looking, consciously listening for things to do when we get in the Word or hear the Word or in a church or hear a sermon. Because there's always something you can change, something you can adjust, something you can do in your life better. Come on now. You're not there yet, and I'm not there. We can all improve. Amen? But you have to come expecting to hear something to do. And many times it's simple. Many times it's something you think you already know, but you get to thinking about it, and you go, "Wow, you know what? I haven't been doing that." A lot of times it's stuff we know how to do, we just hadn't done it. Sometimes we're not talking right. Sometimes we're not walking right. Sometimes we're not forgiving. Sometimes we're not loving. How many times you've been in church and something simple like that comes up and you realize that there's somebody you're holding bitterness toward, or hello, or you hadn't prayed about a situation. That always gets me. Is I get in the middle of a mess and I'll think, "My God, I hadn't even prayed about this." You know, you just go through the thing. You hadn't even stopped to pray. Something as simple as that. But we need these reminders, these times of reflection, this time of hearing the Word. Because that constant repetition keeps it in front of us. You're not going to hear this on the television. You're not going to hear this or read this on the front page of the newspaper. That's what church is about. We are the reporters of God. Here's where you hear about the things of God. You hear about what God's doing. You get in God's Word. And you need to hear it over and over and over and over. Amen? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. I'd submit to you faith. Fear comes by hearing. Fear comes by hearing the wrong thing over and over. Faith comes by hearing the right thing over and over. You may have been told you're no good, never amount to anything all your life. Well, you hear that enough, you'll finally get to believe in it. And it's a lie. You're of great value. I mean, God can do anything with you. Sent Jesus to die for your sins. Are you kidding? If God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. Hello? Think about it. He's crazy about you. So it says here, "Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only." So hearing is only part of the package or part of the equation. You hear to do. You hear to obey. You hear to apply. I'll tell you, anybody that applies the word is a blessed person. No question. You'll hear testimonies. You'll hear them excited about what God's done. You'll hear them talking about what God's done. You know, prayed about this and this happened. And Sherry was telling me tonight they just prayed about something, her and Winford. And I mean, God just blessed them and answered that prayer. You know, if you're doing the Word all the time, you're going to have testimonies. You're going to have good reports. And you're blessed in the doing of the Word. "Be ye doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Some people say, "Well, all that stuff doesn't work." Well, no, it works for those that work it. It won't work if you don't work it. You know, G.K. Chesterton said this years ago, he said, "Christianity has not been found tried and wanting." Christianity has been found difficult and left untried. Hello. So James is encouraging us to get into the fray. Get into the arena. Get out there and believe God. Trust God. Pray. Serve God. Live right. You can do it. Don't you buy the lie that you can't. that it's impossible, that it can't be done. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. You are more than conquerors through Him that loved you. The Bible says that He gives you the victory through Christ Jesus, and He always causes you to triumph in Christ. But you have to commit to that. If you'll step out there, draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. If you make one step, He'll make two. You know that old song? You make one step, He'll make two. It is amazing what the Lord will do. You know I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor your seed out begging for bread. You may be down today, but help is on its way. Dark clouds may dim your sky, but He'll answer you by and by. You make one step, He'll make two. It is amazing what the Lord will do. You know I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed out begging for bread. It just goes on. I can run through a troop, leap over a wall, hallelujah, hallelujah. He's my strength and my shield. He gives power to all. I don't know where those songs come from. They just get in there. You can't get them out. But anyway. Well, make that step, see? Draw near. It's amazing what the Lord will do. Amen?
Amen?
Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. You ever done that? Look in a mirror, you know? You see yourself. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. That's amazing to me. That really what God is saying that is this word, God's word, is the true mirror of who you really are. You really are who God says you are. But the problem is you walk away from this mirror and you forget who you are. God says you can make it. God says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. God says you can do what He says you can do, but not keeping our face in the book, we walk away and we forget who we are.
There you go. Amen.
And we start arguing with a mirror. I always love that analogy when you think about it. Who in the world argues with a mirror? I mean, do you stand in front of a mirror when you get up in the morning, look in that mirror and say, I don't look that bad, no way. Now, really, wouldn't that be crazy to sit there and say, no way. No, you start working on yourself. You know the mirror doesn't lie. And so you start doing whatever. The mirror just does not lie. It is a reflection of you. Now, listen. The mirror doesn't have anything to do with the way you look. That's your choice. The mirror just shows you how you look.
That's right. That's right.
Y'all getting it? So it's like circumstance. I love that. Circumstances don't have anything to do with what you do. Circumstances don't. You do what you do from what's inside of you. You can blame circumstances. I mean, you can fly off the handle and say you had a bad day, but you must have had it in you or you wouldn't have done it. The circumstance didn't make you do it. Circumstances are about as responsible for your actions as a mirror is for your looks.
Right.
Circumstances don't define us. They just reveal us. That's all. Okay. Getting quiet in here. But, you know, you look in that mirror and you start making adjustments. You understand the power of the mirror. It tells the truth. I love the analogy that James uses here. The Bible's true. You know, many times I look in the Bible and I see some things I need to change. And there's no sense in me making and saying, no way, I'm not that bad. No, if I need to make that adjustment, I need to make that adjustment.
That's right.
Are you with me? But the good news is he says some good things too. He says some great things about being a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things passed away, all things become new. That's who I really am. The rest of that stuff's a lie. What people say about me is not who I am.
There you go.
What God says about me, that's the truth. Amen? And I need to live that truth out. I need to walk that truth out. Hallelujah. But that is my choice, and life is a series of choices. The mirror shows me what's true. It's up to me to make adjustments if I need to. If you look good, it's because you believe what the mirror told you. The mirror didn't make you look good per se. You worked with the mirror.
There you go.
And I want to tell you, the Word will work for those that work with it. The Word will not make you a better person if you don't work with it. Just hearing it won't change you. Doing it will. Just seeing yourself in the mirror won't make you look good. But start making those adjustments and fixing that hair and, you know, and wiping off, you know, the dirt off your face, whatever. And you ladies put all that makeup on, all that stuff you do. Keep it up. Looks good. Working with a mirror makes a great life. Makes you look good. Working with the Word makes your life better. Amen? That's the analogy that he's using here. So he says, he observes himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what manner of man he is. That's why repetition is so important, reminding yourself over and over, going over and over the Word. That's why going to church regularly is so important, because it keeps it in front of us. It reminds us of the truth. Because we're not so ignorant all the time of what God says. We just forget. We've heard it. We just hadn't heard it enough. We're not reminded of it enough. We haven't developed the habit of it. You know, I think it was Alexander Pope said, you must teach as if you taught them not, and bring out things unknown as things forgot. And what he was saying by that is that if you hear something long enough, it'll come alive to you. Often when you're in a church and something burns in you and something comes alive to you, you know why it came alive to you? Because you heard it enough, you finally got it. You hardly ever get something the first time. But having heard it enough or had enough experiences or thought about it enough, finally it all comes together. It's like in a fog, you're getting closer to it and closer to it and closer to it, and finally the fog dissipates and there it is, you see it. That's why you have to hear it over and over and over, or you'll never get it. That's why in school they have repetitiously go over certain truths over and over and over and test you on them over and over and over. It's redundant really when it starts out, but you've got to have that, because you'll never get it if you don't hear it over and over.
There you go.
It won't become a part of you. It won't get inside of you, and the Word's no different. If you'll commit yourself to the Word, if you'll hear it over and over, if you'll listen to it and you meditate on it, it'll start little by little clearing up for you and becoming clearer for you. Things become clearer by approach. And the closer you get to it, the more alive it's going to come to you and the clearer you're going to see it. And that's why James talks about repetition. Peter talks about repetition. All through the Bible it talks about meditation and remembering and not forgetting. Those terms are all through the Scripture. Not forgetting, that means you heard it. Be careful that you don't forget it. See, that's what repetition's about. Going to church on a regular basis is about. That's why God wants you, you know, to have a habit of going to church and a habit of hanging around Christians, a habit of reading your Bible, because that repetition gets it inside of you. People often don't just get up one day and quit church. You know, over the years, 25 years we've been pastoring here, people just kind of fade away. And you've noticed in your own life it's that way. You just kind of get out of the habit. Good people love God, but you just kind of get out of the habit. And for long, you're just out. You know, you still love God and everything's fine, but see, you got out of the habit. And you have to create good habits. And that's your choice, my choice. Because there's power in repetition. There's power in habits. There's a power in doing something over and over and over. Some people are convinced of lies because they've done them over and over and over. That's the power of the force of habit. So what we want to do is find the truth. And once we find the truth, then create a habit or do something to keep it in front of you so you don't forget it.
Amen.
Mm. Hallelujah. That's why we put scriptures on a refrigerator where we can find them. We have to look at them all the time. You know, Amanda got scriptures and puts them on the mirror. She used to put them on the mirror at the house where she'd look at it. It'd be a scripture right there on the mirror. She'd see it every morning, you know, and quote that scripture, maybe a confession that she's going to make. Just keep it in front of her. We don't want to forget. Amen? Because you can hear and forget. He's talking to Christians. He's talking about people that are a certain type people who forgot what type people they were. Amen. They didn't cease to be that person. They just forgot who they were. Mm. And of course, you suffer the consequences. For he observes himself, goes away, immediately forgets what kind of a manner of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it. Man, I love that. You know, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, in John 8 chapter. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I love that. And if you want to really be a disciple, then you want to continue in the thing. You don't want to just hear it every once in a while, be a CEO Christian. That's Christmas, Easter, and other holidays. But come regularly, hear it over and over, continue in it, And you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free.
Woo, hallelujah.
Woo, hallelujah.
There you go.
You can be a free man. You can be a free woman. If you're willing to pay the price, if you're willing to do the work, do the deed, act on the knowledge. So he says here, he who looks in the perfect law of liberty, 25th verse, and continues in it, I love that continue. This is a continual thing. You know why I think about our church and all we've done in a small town. We started the church in 1982, and you know, you look at all that we've done. We've got 45 acres here. It's paid for. We do our Hallelujah Night every year. About 4,000 people come to that. It's amazing, our town, our size. We have our own television channel 24 hours a day that's broadcasting in Wills Point and Edgewood on the cable channel and television programs that we're sending out. We've given over $1 million to missions in 10 years. Wills Point, Texas, we're making a difference. I'll tell you, we are reaching the world from Wills Point, Texas. We are making a difference. We are making a difference. And you think about that, and here we are 25 years down the road, and you look at that, and you see that success, and you say, wow, how did all that happen? Well, it took 25 years to get here, I can tell you that. And we didn't quit. We just stayed with it. A lot of people hung in there, and you know, we've gone back and forth. We stayed. We stuck with it. We didn't change anything. We kept doing what we're doing.
Amen.
You can't do anything for 25 years and not get good at it. Hello?
Yeah.
And so that's what God's saying. You know, well, that sure is a long time. Well, long time or not, if Jesus tarries, you're going to live that long.
There you go.
Yeah.
Some people say, well, I don't know if I can believe for 10 years. Well, what else are you going to do?
Yeah.
If you're going to be here 10 years, you might as well believe for 10 years.
Amen.
If you're going to be here 10 years, you might as well serve God, stand on the Word for 10 years, and just see what God can do. And then do it 15, then do it 20, then do it 25. That's why I'm so excited about our future, because now we've got 25 years of believing God and standing on the Word, doing the Word behind us, under our belt, as it were. And so we are in a better position right now than we have ever been in the history of our church. Think about it. The best is yet to come. I can't wait to see what's going to happen next year, in the next 5 years, next 10 years if Jesus tarries.
Right.
Woo! Because we've been blessed because we continued. Stay with it, amen. Stay with the stuff. Hang in there. Do the Word. Just keep doing it. Just keep doing it. It works. It works. It works. Don't you buy the lie. It's not going to work for you. That's a lie. It will work for you. God is no respecter of persons. What He's done for one, He'll do for another. If He healed anybody, He'll heal you. If He saved anybody, He'll save you. If He blessed anybody, He'll bless you. Praise God. If you'll believe and you'll trust God, it's going to be... Listen, you didn't get into the mess you're in overnight. You're not going to get out overnight. But I tell you what, you can head in the direction that's going to take you out of that mess.
Yeah.
And as the days and the weeks and the months and the years rock on, you'll look back at all that as an old tale.
Amen. Sure.
And you'll feel like you woke up out of a dream or something. I feel like I'm dreaming half the time in my life. I look around my life and what I used to be and where I've come from and where I am now, it's just like a dream. But I know there's some things, some commitments that Brent and I made and some decisions we made to stick with. And it was not always smooth. Sometimes it was rough. We had some rough years in the church. But, you know, we kept believing, kept praying, and kept standing, and kept saying the Word. Just kept doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Kept doing it. Do we do everything right? No, of course not. We're human. We hadn't done anything right. You know, we've done the best we could. But we've corrected those things, repented if we were wrong. You know, I think about church. Church is like family. You get a bunch of people in a church, you know, you're going to rub up against each other. You're going to offend each other. That's part of life. That's anybody married?
Yeah.
Anybody have a family?
Man.
You work through those things, though. You just work through them and go on. Amen. You're committed to each other, so that's not an option, splitting up. And hello. And so we just go through it and just keep going and keep going. We don't quit. See, we don't quit. 25th verse. This helping you?
Amen.
I know you're thinking of somebody that should have been here tonight. But actually, this is for you. It's for me too. Amen. 25th verse. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word. Now let's see, put all that together. If you do the word, you won't forget. A forgetful hearer is one who doesn't do it. You forget things. I've used an example before. I remember when Brent and I were in school, the short time I was in school. I really would have been in there longer. They just wouldn't let me stay. They kicked me out. That was back before I got saved. But I was pretty smart in school, and they had slide rules back then. Yeah. Most kids probably don't know what those are. But they had slide rule competitions. This is BC, before calculators. And so you did everything on a slide rule. And I went to slide rule competition. I was good at it. I mean, I remember doing that when I was like in the 8th grade, 9th grade, I guess. 9th grade, yeah. Yeah, that was the last official year that I finished in the 9th grade. That's all before I got saved. But I remember those slide rules, and I put that thing off. You know, I had a real nice slide rule and put it in a nice case, nice slide rule case, big long case. A few years ago, I was digging through some stuff, and I found that slide rule. I thought, man, there's that old slide rule. I hadn't seen that thing in, you know, at least 5 years. At least. But anyway, I pulled that thing out, and I was looking at it. I said, man, that's my old slide rule. That is so awesome. Goodness, I got it, and I was moving around. I was thinking, God, I don't remember how to use this thing. I didn't have a clue. Not one clue how to make that thing work. And I had gone to competition, but it's been 25, 30 years, you know, or more since I'd ever used the thing. Used it, went to competition, put it up, never used it again. See, you lose it if you don't use it. And it's the same way with God's Word. You'll forget some things that you knew so well, that you lived so well, but because you're not doing them, you've gotten out of the habit. Got out of the habit of trusting God. Got out of the habit of living for God. Got out of the habit of going to church. Not saying we're bad people, we just get out of the habit. This is how we're wired. This is how God makes us, see? And so once we find that out, the better off we're going to be. Get into the manual and find out how you are. This is the way we are. And God's telling us, hey, you better watch that because you're going to let that slip. If you don't remind yourself of that, if you don't do that regularly, if you don't bring that before you on a regular basis, you're going to be a forgetful hearer. I think it's amazing. Psalms 103, verse 1 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, that all and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. And lists several things. Redeems your life from destruction. Crowns you with tender mercy. Love your kindness. Satisfies your mouth with good things. Renews your youth like the eagles. He says several things there. It's amazing how the church today, for the most part, many churches today have forgotten some of the benefits.
Right. Amen. That's right.
Man, you think, hey, you forget that. I mean, God's a healer. But you know, the churches have forgot that. You know why? Never teach on it. Never talk about it. You always get the result on what you teach on. You always get the result of what you pray about and what you look at, what you meditate on. I would challenge you, listen, if you're having trouble in an area in your life, get in the Word, find out what God says about that area. Remind yourself of those Scriptures. Go over and over those Scriptures. Let them become a part of you, and they will renew, rekindle that fire again. Hallelujah. And stir you up in faith, you know, to meet that need. Because it's always going to come back to the Word in the beginning is the Word. Starts with the Word. Amen. Then you have to work the Word. You have to do the Word. Be a doer of the Word. Hallelujah. So it says, he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. He'll be blessed in his deed, King James Version says. You're blessed in what you do. You're not blessed in what you can quote or what you know. You're blessed in what you do, what you act on. I mean, you can tell me you had great intentions. I've often done that. Well, I had the greatest intention. Well, you know what? Your least accomplishment is better. Your greatest intention.
Yeah.
Think about it. Our least accomplishment is better than our greatest intention. We can intend all kinds of things, but it's what we do that really matters.
That's right.
You know, that's good because I can act on it. I can make choices. I can do some things. And it doesn't have anything to do with feeling. I love the fact that God says love people. He didn't say you had to like them. I love that. Love's action. Love's what you do. Amen? Just do it. And he says forgive him. He didn't say you had to feel it. He just said forgive him. What would forgiveness be? What would you do? Well, that means you wouldn't hold it against them. See? God didn't say, now I want you to feel like you've forgiven someone. That's not in the Bible anywhere. That's where all get hung up. Well, so I can't forgive them. No, what you're saying is you don't feel like forgiving them. That's all you're saying. And I feel that way. Sometimes I want to take their head off too. But I don't have that luxury. I'm a Christian. And a pastor. So I have to love people. And so that means I will act to them, act toward them in a manner that is summed up in love. I'll be kind, I'll be decent, I'll be civil, I will love them and I will forgive them. Yeah. My feelings, well, they come and go. Mostly go. Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. But you can love people, amen? You can forgive people. You can say what you need to say and do what you need to do. And then you know what? The more you do that, the more you'll change the feeling. But faith comes first, feeling comes second. You start out in faith and then your feelings begin to change. You start praying for them and then your thinking and feeling toward them will start changing. But if you wait for the feeling, you'll always mess up. You'll never see the miracle. Amen? You're blessed in your deed. You're blessed in what you do. You're blessed in what part of the word you act on. So he says this. He says, don't be a forgetful here, but a doer of the word. This one will be blessed in what he does. Turn to 2 Peter. That's good stuff. I know it's not a rip-roaring message. You're not running aisles or jumping on top of the chairs, but it's good nonetheless. Need to hear it. 2 Peter, this is just about living right, living holy, doing the right thing. Have some character. Have some integrity about us. Amen? This is important stuff. I mean, gifts are wonderful. Thank God for gifts. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit and the Holy Ghost and all. My God, we want all that. We want every bit of that. But those are really quick fixes. And that's like giving a man a fish in one sense. But he'll eat for a day. But you teach him to fish, he'll eat for a lifetime. Teaching of the Word and getting a hold of the Word is a lifetime thing. Gifts, we want them in our service. We want them in our lives. But gifts may open doors, but see, character keeps them open. Gifts and personality and talents even will take you to the top, you know. But character keeps you from falling off the top. Because a lot of people have fallen off the top because of their character, personality, or gifts. We hear about movie stars that their gifts and their talents have taken them a lot further than their character could sustain them. Their character could not sustain them. You see it in ministry. We've seen ministries fall. What was wrong? Was the word wrong? No. Was the message wrong? Of course not. The Bible's true. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's perfect. He doesn't change. But something in the character of those people is wrong. They didn't address, they didn't deal with, and so they couldn't sustain that kind of fame or, you know, whatever the case may be. And so what God's talking about is longevity. He's talking about consistency in your life, doing the word over and over and over. You continue in it, you're going to be a blessed man or a blessed woman. Amen. You say, well, I hadn't done that. Well, it was a good day to start. Amen. This is a good day to start. In 2 Peter, he talks about several things. He talks about perseverance and godliness and brotherly kindness and all these things. And he lists several of those things in the first chapter. Ninth verse, I'm going to skip it on down because I want to get to a point here. Well, eighth verse says, for if these things are yours and abound, or in you and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I love that. And he was talking about actions, deeds, things that you do. That what he was saying, just do what God says. And if you do what God says, you will never be lacking in the knowledge of God. Notice how there was a connection between doing the word and knowing the word. Now, we think we got it the other way around. And in one sense it is. You got to hear it first to do it. But if you don't do it, you'll never really know it. In doing it, we'll never lack in knowledge of it. But you forget and you lose the knowledge of it when you don't do it. It's not too deep, is it? Okay. All right. I know it's not. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness. So not doing the things he lists here, and he lists several things. He's loving people and living holy and all those kinds of things, which is really just doing the word. Not doing those, you'll actually blind yourself. But not acting. You know the world's blind. You know when you get saved, a lot of people say, well, I see the light. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light. I saw, you know, okay. No more darkness. That's right, come on. Anyway, it says here blindness comes from what? Not lacking these things, not doing these things. Short-sightedness. And really people that just live in sin, live for the pleasure of the flesh, are living very short-sighted lives. They're not thinking down or seeing down the road. They're just seeing or living for the moment. They're short-sighted and then eventually just blind because their actions blind them. Your actions can enlighten you or they can blind you. Your actions can deceive you or they can bring revelation to you. I think of Proverbs 1:24 where it says, or 1:23 it says, "Behold, I will pour my spirit out unto you." It says, first it says, "Turn you at my reproof." Everybody say, turn.
Turn.
That's repent. That just means turn. "Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour my spirit out unto you and I will make known my words to you." When? When you turn around. When you act right. You get your actions right, revelation will come. "Turn at my reproof. Behold, I'll pour my spirit out unto you." Woo, hallelujah. You'll quit being deceived, self-deceived. See, we talk about the devil being a deceiver, and he is. But sometimes we deceive ourselves.
Mm.
Listen, the more excited y'all get, the more amen in y'all do, the quicker I'll let you out here tonight. I usually get a pretty good response when I say that, but anyway.
Come on, brother.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. "He who lacks these things is short-sighted even in blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins." There's that forgetting. We forget because we don't do. "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and your election sure." Everybody feel like they know Jesus, they're saved, going to heaven? You're pretty sure about that? I do. Maybe you have a sense of destiny or maybe a ministry or a call on your life. Well, there's a way you can make it sure, or there's a way you can make it confusing and flaky. Hello. God's not into flaky.
Right. Amen.
He's into secure and sure. How do you get secure and sure? Well, there's things you do to make your call and your election sure. If you do these things, you will never stumble. Man, I love that. The more I do the Word, the more sure I am about who I am in God and who God is in me. The more I do the Word, the more sure I am in my calling and my election.
Amen.
And the years that go by that rock on, year by year, we get more stable, we get more settled, we get more mature, more sure. Woo, hallelujah. So he says, if you do these things, you'll never stumble. "For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." There's an entrance that just gets bigger and bigger the more I serve God. It's an abundant supply of blessing that comes when I get where I'm supposed to be. "For this reason, I will not be negligent," Peter says, "to remind you always." Everybody say, "remind you always." What's he doing? He's telling them the same thing over and over. Why? So they don't forget it. Why? So they can be established. Because that's what he says. "For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of those things, though you know them and are established in the present truth." You might know some things, but you need to hear it over and over. I'm amazed some people say, "Well, Pastor, I heard you preach that one time before." Well, I've been here 25 years. I probably did preach it one time before. I mean, there's new stuff coming all the time, but if you come long enough, you're going to hear some things over and over. But you know what? I told you about eating fat cats today, didn't you? Didn't I tell you that? Okay. I've eaten there before. It was good this time, too. In fact, a lot of times when I go to a restaurant, I'll order the same thing. How about you? Are you kind of that way? I get a hold of something I really like, and I'll just go back and order the same thing again. If I go there enough, the waitress always just, "You want your regular?" "Yeah, just let me have it." When I get a hold of something good, I want it over and over. Why is it with the Word or church sometimes we get bored sometimes with the message, and usually it's the message we need to hear?
Hallelujah.
We ought to just lap it up, man. I mean, that's good stuff. Ooh, man. In fact, it ought to be, "Oh, praise God, I remember the last time I preached this. I can't wait to hear this one again."
That's right.
"Oh, taste and see if the Lord is good." Amen. Jeremiah said, "Thy words are found, and I did eat them, and they were the joy and the rejoicing of my heart." Now see, remembrance. That's what Peter is saying. "I want to remind you of this, although you know it and are established in the present truth." Yes, 13th verse, "I think it is right, as long as I am in this tabernacle, this body, to stir you up by reminding you."
Yeah.
I love that. You know what I get the most excited about? It's not necessarily new truth I get excited about. It's repetition of truth that I know has changed my life. When I hear it, amen. I'm the first one to say, yes, amen. And I've heard it, and I agree with it. I love it. I was reading a book on leadership the other day. It was just a great little book. I didn't know anything about the guy. I started reading through the book. About halfway through the book, he quotes a scripture. I thought, hey, that's pretty good. And he goes down a little further, and he says, because I am a Christian, I believe, and he starts naming off these things. I thought, yeah, praise God, he's a Christian. I knew I liked this book. Got all excited about it. But I believe that, see? And when you believe certain things, and you hear them over and over, if you really believe them, you get excited about them. And that repetition is so good, isn't it? I love to get a hold of a song that I just really love. I love to sing it over and over. That's what Peter said. He's saying, yes, I think it's right as long as I'm in this body to stir you up by reminding you. It stirs me. Sometimes there's some messages I hear, some truths I hear. Maybe it's something I'm dealing with that week or something I've been studying that week, and somebody will start talking about it or I'll hear them preach about it. It stirs me.
Amen.
It stirs me because I've been on that. I'm being reminded, see, and the reminding of it fires me up, lights my fuse. And that's what Peter's saying. Now, you need to know this. I know you know it. I know you're doing it. But you've got to hear it again. You need to hear it again. Establishing the present truth. Yes, I think it's right as long as I'm in this tent to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent. He was getting ready to go to be with the Lord. Just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, in closing, 15th verse. Y'all ready? Da-da-da-da-da-da. This is it. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. And one of the ways he did that is he wrote this book by the Holy Ghost. We're reading there, 2 Peter. And we have a constant reminder. Which really, you could just preach a whole message on that. How is it a constant reminder? It means we go back and we read it. It wouldn't be a constant reminder if you didn't read it over and over. But he's assuming that you take the Bible and read it over and over. And that reminder keeps us established. It keeps us stirred up. I used to hear Brother Osteen, you know, at Lakewood Church. And I'd think, as the years rocked on there, how in the world could that man stay so stirred up and so fired up, service after service, week after week? I mean, I never heard him preach a bad message. It was just, he was just so fired up and so stirred up. And, you know, years went on, and he was still stirred up and still fired up. Well, you know, after a while, I finally got the secret. He really believed what he's preaching. He really lived what he was preaching. He acted on what he was preaching. They actually took those promises and stood on them in their daily lives with their kids, with their family, with their bodies, with the church. And so we decided to do the same thing. And I'm just as stirred up right now as I was when I accepted Jesus 32 years ago. Man, I can't wait. If it gets any better than this, one day we're just going to all overdose on this.
There you go.
We're going to go right on up. There's no high like the Most High.
There you go.
One day the trumpet's going to sound. We're going to just go right on up. Woo! And we're going to go up with a shout. There's going to be a shout from heaven, but we're going to go up with a shout. I don't think you can contain that kind of power and that kind of blessing, you know, in your... No way. No way. But while we're here, remind yourself of the Word. Get into a habit of going over the Word, doing the Word, acting on the Word. Check yourself out whether you're in the faith or not. At the end of the day, stop and think about, what did you do for Jesus today? What one thing did you do? Did you pray for someone? Did you love someone? Did you keep from getting upset or angry or lash out at someone? Go through those little things in your life and say, you know what, I need to work on that. I can see there where I did wrong. God, forgive me. Repent of that. And get up the next morning and hit it again.
Yeah.
End of the day, you know, check yourself out. Remind yourself. You can't just ignore it and let it go away because you won't change that way. You want to change. You want to be like Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen? And you got to knock off those rough edges. That takes some work, but you can do it. It's not going to happen overnight. You know what? You're not going to talk your way out of a problem you behaved your way into. Does that make sense? The way you get out of a problem you behaved your way into is behave your way out of it. So change your behavior. That takes time, but it works because the Word always works. Amen.